Thank you, Joy. Today is the 21st of June. 21st of June is the summer solstice, the day when we see the greatest amount of daylight from sunrise to sunset. And hopefully some of that might be sunshine. There's another day that's coming up very soon that we call this the longest day that actually is a longer day. It's going to last 1 second longer than any other day of the year. So make good use of that second. The Earth's rotation is gradually slowing down, and we have very accurate atomic clocks that need to be reset every so often. And it's necessary to add 1 second to the atomic clocks on the 30th of June. Numbers such as time are present in our daily lives. Phone numbers, money, timetables. We hear in the media percentage changes, waiting times at NHS, hospitals, election results, all manner of statistics. That wasn't a statistic. And the church is no exception. Changes in numbers and membership and income. And there's also a particular office in 121 George Street which analyzes church statistics and generates a breakdown of national figures from the national census. And here, this is an example of data from St. John's Parish, looking at the composition of households. And they also look at employment, health, many other things such as that. In my working life as a scientist in the pharmaceutical industry, I was immersed in data, its interpretation and possible meaning for the progression or rejection of further investigation of a potential medicine. Numbers can be very informative and can be used to guide our decisions and actions in many fields of life. Each year, St. John's submits what is known as an annual statistical return, and that's for inclusion in the National Church Statistics in this yearbook where they're all compiled from various churches across Scotland and beyond. And the form used includes numbers such as those in membership, those joining and leaving the church, deaths, baptisms, marriages, etc. But one statistic of great importance is the number of young people associated with the church. That number for the year 2014 was 80 young people under the age of 18 in St. John's. Now, you may be surprised by the size of that figure, as we don't generally see anything approaching that number attending church on a Sunday morning. But we heard from our interim moderator, Ian McKenzie, on a recent Sunday, church is not purely about the hour we spent here in this building on a Sunday morning, but church should touch all areas of our lives throughout the week. So what about these 80 young folk? What do we know about them? I suspect most people here are unaware of a number of them, yet we as a church are ministering to them in different ways at different times during the week. The youth church represented here today meet on a Sunday and are nurtured in faith through teaching in various forms and activities, as we heard earlier. The care and the love extended to these children by youth church staff and those in the church demonstrate the love of Jesus in action, in the expectation of encouraging growth and maturity in Christian commitment in the young people. Elsewhere in St. John's, young folk are nurtured at Jaffa Club, Jaffa 2, and the Boys Brigade. Again, many of those individuals and those groups may not be familiar to you on a Sunday morning, but they still receive Christian teaching week by week, and they form a significant part of our church family. Karen has already mentioned the young folks in Curlook Scouts. They are not included in that number of 80, but many of the young folk in Youth Church are associated with that, and we wish them success in their competition today. Our readings today recount different roles of young people in God's plan for his people. The well-known account of David as a young man defeating the Philistine champion Goliath and ensuring the safety of Israel is one example of God using a young and apparently unremarkable person. But David was chosen by God and anointed by Samuel as a sign that he had a major role to play in progressing God's plan. He proved to be a strong military and political leader, in addition to his talents as a poet and musician. King David's place in the history of Israel was reinforced even today. As young recruits in the Israeli security services are taken to the assumed site of David's tomb on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and this statue on the slide at the moment is a representation of David playing the harp. This stands at the area in Mount Zion outside where David's tomb is assumed to be. So he's very important to the Jewish people at this time. However, despite his undoubted talents, David was a flawed king who failed to acquit himself well on a number of occasions. His association with Bathsheba had disastrous consequences for his life. In addition, he willfully ignored God's commands and was a lax father. If we move forward 28 generations, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, we come to the time of Jesus, and he was often referred to as the son of David, as his ancestry was traced from Joseph, his adoptive father, all the way back to David. Unlike the flawed person of David, Jesus was without blemish or sin, being the earthly representation of the Son of God, the Father. He was the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, not a warrior king like David, but a king who came to save. In his short ministry, Jesus taught and touched many people. And in a reading in Mark's Gospel, we see the disciples getting it wrong again. They made the mistake of excluding the children. People were bringing their children to Jesus, who was obviously had established a reputation as a healer and a teacher, and they wanted Jesus to bless their children. The disciples tried to stop people from bringing their children, and we read that Jesus was indignant. He said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." A simple and uncomplicated acceptance of Jesus leads to a new life in him, a life of purpose, service, and salvation. It is our hope and prayer that the seeds sown in our young people and children through teaching and example yield transformed lives in the service of Jesus. Children in natural innocence trust others, and we as a congregation have an obligation to honour that trust in supporting and embracing the work and initiatives undertaken in the name of St. John's Church. Folk often say young people are the future of the church, and that is frequently met with the reply that they are the church. Both statements are true, but the latter one, that they are the church, can frequently be downplayed. Young people play an ever-increasing role in various aspects of our society. In the street-level news sheet included in the order of service a couple of weeks ago, you would have read of a young street-level volunteer, Rhys Harding, who is now a member of the Scottish Youth Parliament. Youth delegates to the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland are frequently vocal and participate in debates concerning church policy. And the National Youth Assembly, composed of church delegates between the ages of 17 and 25, meets annually to engage and develop responses to the work of the church. Young people are keen to be involved and make a difference. We in St. John's must ensure that our church family also includes and values children and young people as we seek to be the church here in Curlook. I commend the Youth Church and our other youth activities to your practical and prayerful support now and in the future. Amen.